Well, our scripture reading this morning is going to be from Psalm number 92, and it's a hymn of gratitude, or if you will, a hymn of thanksgiving. The human author, whoever he was, expresses his profound thanksgiving unto God, who has become intensely real unto him. Oh, that God would be so real to you and to me, that we would daily want to give thanks unto him. Thanks for who he is and what he has done, what he's doing, and all that he's going to do. In this psalm, we learn a couple of things for us this morning. It's sort of a life lesson for us, and that is there is a duty of thankfulness. And with a duty of thankfulness, it leads to a moral necessity and a major activity. A moral necessity for every believer and a major activity. I'm going to read the full psalm this morning. However, our concentration is going to be on verses 1 to 5. So if you are looking in the Pew Bibles, the page number is 590, Psalm 92. However, the words will also be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound your thoughts! The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though, pardon me, the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish, all evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn, that's his power, like that of the wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How wonderful that we can read the word of the Lord together. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to learn why we as believers have a duty of thankfulness. And in the first place, it is a moral necessity. The opening of this psalm is a real blessing. When we look at it, it says, "It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High." We came in as we came to worship this morning. Pastor Nate called us to worship. We prayed together. We sang together. It was making a joyful noise unto the Lord, for which we give thanks. The King James Version says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Sing praises, or to sing songs of thankfulness unto God. Here's an observation for us. If it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, and it is, then quite obviously, it is a bad thing if we hold thanks to the Lord. Good to give thanks, to have a thankful heart, and bad if we withhold our thanks and never acknowledge the Lord. I think that I'm right in observing that one of the prevalent sins of our time is indeed to hold with thanks to the Lord. Even by Christians, we withhold the thanks that should be given to the Lord. It seems to me these days our airways are full of many people who are saying, "Oh my God," and they're just saying it with no thought as to what's going on. It's just a loose saying. It's just the same without any sort of absent-mindedness. They are saying it, and it means nothing. It is not an item of praise in any way. Somehow, in the back of my mind, I keep feeling the Lord is very displeased with this. I wonder if it's part of taking the Lord's name in vain when we very loosely say, "Oh my God," and then on and on we go. It's something that we as Christians need to be vitally careful about, that we don't to say, "Oh dear Lord, thank you," that's a different story. But just to absent-mindedly say, "Oh my God, this is not good." It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul listed stages in a person's descent from knowing the true knowledge and then moving away and away, further away from God himself, sometimes to even vile wickedness. We read this in Romans chapter 1, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him." No glory to God, no thanks to him. "But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, I should remind us as believers that every believer should know Romans chapter 1, and we should read Romans chapter 1 over and over again, because it clearly tells us what Almighty God says about how we ought to be living life. And you will notice there's a portion in there about the people who follow the same sex agenda. And you know that this is very displeasing to God Almighty, and it is something that we need to be aware of. Society is confusing us today. I hope it's not confusing Christians and believers, but it's confusing people. And now we find the agenda that's been going on, started innocently, apparently innocently, many years ago, has sprung to the point that now this kind of a lifestyle is being promoted as the right thing to do, and anybody who's against it is wrong. Well, I want to tell you, Christians, read Romans chapter 1. See what the Lord has to say about it all. Psalm 92. When we praise God, we gratefully appreciate God's blessing, which are behind us and those which are before us. It means that you and I can look back and we can see God's blessing in our life. I don't know if you've ever experienced a time when just all of a sudden you knew that the Lord was present. You knew that maybe the Lord or his angel was there. You knew that somehow he prevented you from doing what it was that you knew you ought not to do. This is a time of thanksgiving when we praise God. We are to gratefully appreciate God's blessing behind us, looking back for everything that he has done. The psalmist said, "For you made me glad by your deeds, O Lord." Obviously, it was the Lord's deeds in general and the Lord's deeds for that particular individual. "For you have made me glad through your work." That's what the King James Version says. We're looking back, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in my life, in our life. We praise you." There have been some unpleasant things, things that we hoped would never have happened, but they did. And yet, Lord, you brought me through. You helped me when I didn't think I could ever make it. And Lord, I want to give you thanks because you did. What was the psalmist thanking the Lord for? Things that we should be thanking the Lord for. For past spiritual blessings, for past social blessings, and for temporal blessings. The blessings that we have day by day. I'll have a little more to say about that in a moment. The psalmist thought about our precious Lord's deeds and work throughout his life. And who among us, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, can ever forget that at the moment we received Christ as Savior and Lord, God became our Father, Jesus was, as I said, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit became our Comforter. Everybody is not a child of God. Only those who put their trust in Jesus as Savior. Then we can refer to God as our Father. That's why we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." This is a prayer for Christians. It's a prayer for believers. A prayer for Christ followers. We can refer to God Almighty as God our Father. Put it this way, the way Paul does, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen, "who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, even in the heavenly places in Christ." Now sometimes we sing a hymn called "Count Your Many Blessings" or "Count Your Blessings." In fact, we're going to sing it this morning as the last hymn when we meet together. Counting your blessings is a wonderful activity to be involved in. When we're in a down mood, we may not want to count our blessings. We may not even think about counting our blessings. But let me let you in on a little secret. When we count our blessings, even when we are in a down mood, God's Holy Spirit has a wonderful way to get through us, and we begin to change our perspective. We begin to look more carefully then. We're thanking God for all these things, and when we do, the difficulties or the down mood reasons why we are in a down mood seem to dissipate, because we've replaced them with pleasant thoughts. The psalmist said, "I sing for joy at the works of your hands." I don't know, I'm not a songwriter. I've never written a song in my life. In fact, I always had trouble with poetry. People who are poets, they get a great deal of meaning out of the poetry that they write. I often had difficulty trying to understand what the poem was all about. I remember in school one time, we were asked to give our impression as to what the poet meant by the poem. So I gave my impression, and the teacher told me it was all wrong. And I said, "Well, that may not be what the poet thought, but that's what I thought. And you asked me to give my impression." Well, that's what I did. So I don't go along with a lot of poetry. It doesn't strike me particularly well. However, when we think about this, "I sing for joy at the works of your hands." And if only we had been able to praise God and write a hymn. I like the music, and sometimes a word will come to my mind, but I'm not a hymn writer. If any of you are hymn writers, you write the hymn, you praise God for it. Now, giving glory to God constantly is what we ought to be doing. We need to take the time to verbally thank the Lord for his goodness to us, and we need to do it over and over and over again. I want to tell you a story about the late, great Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He was a great preacher, great teacher, a great author. One time he was traveling from Alabama to Florida. He was going to attend a conference, and in his car he had a trunk load of very heavy books, books which he had written, and of course he was going to take to the conference, and it was going to be sold when he was there. But as he was driving along, he was all by himself. He sort of felt there was something not quite right with the wheels, and so we thought maybe he was getting a flat. So he pulled the car over, and indeed, the tire was low. What he didn't want to do, he was an older man at the time and didn't look forward to changing his tire and taking all the books out of the trunk so we could get to the spare tire. But presently, a young man came driving down in a Jeep with his dog, and so Dr. Barnhouse hailed him, and the man in the Jeep pulled over, and Dr. Barnhouse said, "I have a flat tire. If you would take the books out of my trunk and change the tire, I would pay you. I'd be very grateful." So the young man said, "Oh, sure, I'd be glad to do that." So he said, "What are all these books anyway?" So Dr. Barnhouse said, "Well, I'm a preacher," and he said, "I'm taking these to the conference I'm going to attend." And the young man said, "Oh, well, my wife would be very interested in these, but I'm not interested in this at all." So anyway, the young man went on and he started to change the tire. I mentioned that his dog was with him, and the dog kept nudging up against the driver and licking him whenever possible, and the young man who was changing the tire, and he'd reach down and pet the dog and so on. So this was going on and on as the tire was being changed. And he said, "This dog, he saved my life. I was sinking in quicksand, and the dog was able to do something, he didn't say what, and pulled me out of the quicksand, and he saved my life. And I am absolutely devoted to the dog. So this dog eats at my table, and even though my wife doesn't like it, he sleeps at the foot of our bed." But this was the dog. And then Dr. Barnhouse started to think about this, and listen to what he said. "How strange. The dog has saved your life from quicksand, and you are devoted to it. Yet Christ has done more than your dog, and you are not interested in Christ. You are in a worse plight than quicksand, from which Christ came to save you. The dog did not die for you, but Christ did. Yet you thank the dog, and you are not thankful to Christ." Now, I don't know the end result of that. I don't know whether the young man gave his life to Jesus or not. I suspect with Donald Barnhouse, he probably pushed him a little bit to that extent. But the important thing is, sometimes we as believers even forget and take casually that Christ died for us. He died to pay for your sin and for mine. And we ought to be thankful, really thankful. And we ought to thank him every single day for doing what he's done, doing what he's doing, and doing all that he's going to do. Many years ago, the Puritan writer William Law considered the thankful spirit an essential quality of a believer's life. So he asked a question, and then he provided an answer. What was the question? The question was, would you know who was the greatest saint in the world? Now remember, saint is a believer. Saint is a believer. So who would you know who was the greatest saint in the world? Here's his answer. It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives alms or who is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. You and I could be the greatest saints in the world, depending upon how often we thank God. On this day of thankfulness, this Sunday of Thanksgiving Sunday, it's a day when we formally thank the Lord. But you and I need to make it a lifestyle to thank the God, our God, continuously, constantly and continuously. The psalmist in Psalm 92 leaves no doubt as to why we should give thanks to the Lord. We gratefully appreciate God's blessing which are behind us, and gratefully appreciate God's blessings which are before us. They haven't happened yet, but they are coming. They are coming in your life and in mine. The psalmist says, I will sing for joy for the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound are your thoughts. That word profound can also mean how deep are your thoughts. O Lord, how great are your works. Paul wrote something in 1 Corinthians, and he was talking about all the glories of heaven, that which is yet ahead of us. And he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has the mind been able to understand all that you have prepared for us in glory. And then Paul goes on and he says, but God has revealed it to us through his word, through his spirit. God has revealed it to Paul and to us. And so we have a glimpse as to what's going to happen in eternity. We'll have more to say about that next year, but it's a praise God, Adam. We can thank the Lord that there are no limitations attached to God's purposes or blessings in your life and ours, except those which we impose upon ourselves. It's one thing to drop to our knees and thank God occasionally for something he has done for us, something large or something small, but it's another thing for you and me to have a life of continuous thanksgiving, being thankful to God. We know that in all of this, it is a moral necessity and it's a major activity. The opening verses of 92 says, it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. When we think about it, thankfulness ought to be a major activity in that it should engage our total being. We find that the psalmist had spiritual thankfulness. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Have you ever been on a walk, and while you're going along, you just all of a sudden, God's Spirit touches your heart, and you become impressed with what you're seeing? You see the color change this time of year on the trees, or you see the flowers. Maybe some of them are still alive and active and doing what they ought to do. You walk along and if you happen to be out at night, you see the magnificence of the stars, the starry host. In the daytime, you see the sun shining. My mood is always better on a fine day than on a rainy day. But I enjoy the rain. Listen to the rain come down. I remember years ago when I did a lot of camping. Don't do that now. But I can remember being in a tent and listening to the rain coming down in the tent and praising God that the rain came and I was dry on the inside. It's a wonderful feeling, but there are just times when I want to reach out my arms like this and say, Lord, I wish I could give you a hug. I am so impressed with what you've done. I'm impressed with your creation, all that's here for you, for me, and all who believe in you to enjoy and appreciate. To praise God is an act of worship, And to thank God is an act of worship. And we can do it collectively, but we can also do it individually. There's spiritual thankfulness and personal thankfulness. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Many years ago, if you study church history, particularly in the British Isles, you will know there was a great deal of conflict between the Roman Catholic Church becoming the Church of England, and the Church of England want to impose their ways on the Church of Scotland and the churches in Ireland and so on, and all of this went on. And there were the Presbyterians who arose and the Anglicans who rose, and there was a lot of conflict. But then there was a time when they wanted to get together, and the Presbyterian Church in 1600s and the Church of England wrote what we now know as the Westminster Confession. And there's an abbreviated one called the Shorter Westminster Confession, and it was an attempt to bring two groups together. And they did. They spent hours writing this, something that both congregations, the large Anglican congregation throughout England and the Presbyterian congregation throughout Scotland, whereby they could come together. And so they began with a question, and the question was, what is the chief end of man? And then they provided an answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God, to praise God, to give thanks to God, not just on Thanksgiving Sunday, but all the time. There can be no greater activity than to give thanks to God our Father. We need to praise him with our lips and praise him with our worship. And I'm so thankful for our musicians. I'm so thankful that they give of their time to worship the Lord and to lead us in worship. It is indeed a praise God item. I remember years ago, my family and I, we attended a church in Scarborough, and there was one man in the congregation who, whenever the music came on, he was deeply touched by the music. He was more touched by the music than he was by any other part of the service. He just allowed the music to envelop him, and when the music had the words of the gospel, when the music had the words of scripture, it touched his heart in a very special way. And he was a Roman Catholic man who married a Protestant lady and came to our church at that time. And it was the music that struck him. I draw attention to these words in Psalm 92. Make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love. When? In the morning. To proclaim your faithfulness. When? In the evening. To make music on the lyre and the harp. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. The psalmist said, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Paul's letter to the Ephesians says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think we all know what psalms are. We have a whole book of them, 150 psalms. And then it says, hymns. These are the great hymns of the faith that have been written down through the years. And you always know a great hymn of the faith when it's memorable, when it's singable, and when God's word is proclaimed in the hymn. He talked about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? I believe they are the choruses that we often sing together. They even had choruses back then in those days. This morning, we have reviewed what constitutes our duty of thankfulness. It is both a moral necessity and a major activity, or at least it ought to be for every believer. It ought to be for you and for me. It ought to be so that we constantly, consistently, truthfully, meaningfully give thanks to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be thankful. We do not even know what thankfulness is all about until we have been touched and blessed by you. Everything that is around us and about us, for these we ought to be thankful. Thankful, Lord, primarily because we look to you as our Father. We look to you, Jesus, as our Savior. Look to you, Holy Spirit, as our constant Comforter. We praise you. We thank you. Amen.